Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements and a calendar, and you can learn more about how we are church together. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today. So we have a few announcements as we get started. We're going to start with Anne Marie and then all three of you together.
Good morning. I have three announcements. Last week, we had a swim walk. And myself, Osmond, Lisa, and my three grandkids, and Velta Rushan all participated in the walk. And the walk was to raise awareness of hunger in Rochester and to donate to the food cupboard. And thanks to many of you who donated, a total of $500 was donated to SWIM. So thank you to all those who sponsored us. Secondly, we're going to have, not really Sunday school, but we're practicing this play. So all those 4th, 5th, and 6th graders who are here, please meet in your Sunday school class after the children's story. And number three, next year we are planning on an adult mission trip. So we have a short survey for you to fill out. So please see me after worship because I have the survey and we just want a little bit of input. It's not a long survey. Probably take you less than a minute. So please see me so we can get an idea of what type of mission trip you'd like to participate in for next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie. Just so folks who are worshiping with children today, 4th through 6th graders, Anne Marie, what room are you meeting in? 4th through 6th graders following the children's time will be in their classroom, and 3rd grade and below, you are always welcome to stay in worship. This being a holiday weekend, there is not Sunday school, and if you get a little wiggly or giggly or the sermon's a little boring, you can also head down to the nursery, and parents and caregivers at any time you may do that. All right, flea market. All three of you just want to come on all up. You're all related here, so.
I just have to say first, you got to notice Melissa has red slippers on today.
Not slippers, they're shoes.
Shoes. Well, I just want to say, remember, Melissa, you just tap them together because there's no place like home.
Oh, I know.
I'm back.
All right.
Oh, okay. Really quickly, baked food sale for Saturday. Anyone who's donating baked goods, please, if you can, get them here by Friday evening. Pre-bag them if you can, so that it's a little less work for us to get that done. Thanks very much.
Mary, or Beth, however you guys have it worked out.
We never do. Good morning. These might look familiar to you, kind of. They're red now. For those of you working the flea market and you don't have a Gates Presbyterian Church shirt, we have red ones. So see me, $15 per shirt if you're interested or if you just want to increase your wardrobe. And if perchance I don't have the right size for you, I will be ordering this summer for the youth, and I will add your order in and you will get yours.
Morning. Continuing with the red theme, y'all notice what's happening this coming Saturday. What was that? Flea market, right. That doesn't happen without a lot of work beforehand. So this Friday, June 1st, 9 o'clock, we're setting up the fellowship hall for the indoor booths. We're also moving tables out of the garage for Saturday's setup. And also Friday at 10 o'clock, we'll be setting up the outside. You know, painting stripes for the booths, setting up the canopy for the youth sales, and for the plant sales. So anyone that can help, please show up 9 or 10 on Friday. Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, is when we want volunteers here to finish setting up. We're going to need someone to direct traffic as to where the vendors' booths are outside. We need someone volunteer for that. And plants. I know Mary has agreed to be our chairperson for that. Thank you very much. So if you're going to donate plants, please have them here by Friday evening if you can, Saturday morning at the latest, potted, hopefully. And hopefully that's it. I'm sure I forgot something, but please Don't hesitate to volunteer. We need a lot of people. It doesn't take very long, but without that, we don't have a successful sale. So thank you.
And show up. That's always a good thing. I'm not in charge of this one's mouth.
Newsflash. You heard it here first. Peter Derry is in the house.
Welcome back, Peter. Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship the triune God.
Please stand for the call to worship. Children of God, we gather in the wonder of the triune God. We celebrate the God of many names and the beauty of holiness. I stand a witness to God and we proclaim.
We come to the God of many names with all that we are, all that we can be and are created to be, and all the choices we make in our lives. Let us bring our prayers of confession together. Holy One, we acknowledge that too often we try to live not acknowledging the mystery of your being. Even though you have shown us your truth, we allow ourselves to rest in our own uncertainties. We find ourselves unable or unwilling to embrace the love through which you sent Christ to live among us. We take for granted the grandeur of you as Creator, of Christ as Redeemer, and of the Holy Spirit as ever-present Sustainer. We do not live out the beloved community you desire for all. Forgive us, we pray, and help us give testimony to your love. We trust in these promises, that the triune God in each of its persons promises us newness of life, a gift of new birth. The divine Trinity invites us to testify to its being as the foundation for reconciliation of all God's people and for creation. In these truths we trust and give thanks. Thanks be to God. And at this time, all the children are invited to come forward. We are celebrating the not quite so well-known Sunday that we call Trinity Sunday. And you know what? It's probably okay that it's not really well-known because, to be honest, it can be awfully confusing. I like to use this Sunday as a way that we can all remember that there are many ways and many names that we use to think about and to learn about God with us. So maybe you were following along in the first hymn. If not, it's okay, I brought it here. I really like this hymn because it uses so many different names for God. So my readers, what names do you see in here? Any readers can tell me what names you see? What do you see? Any of them. You see a name for God? See one? See. That word? What does that one say? Word and wisdom, vine and shepherd. A lot of the music we sing in church uses different names for God. And I wanted to share with you a book that I really, really love that's called In God's Name. And yes, sir. Ooh, you know someone named Trinity. How cool. All right. So you, and I'm going to try to show you the pictures too because they are just so pretty. After God created the world, all living things on earth were given a name. The plants and trees and animals and fish and each person, young and old, had a special name. But no one knew the name for God. So each person searched for God's name. The farmer whose skin was dark like the rich brown earth from which all things grew called God, source of life. The girl whose skin was golden as the sun that turned the night into day called God, creator of light.
And the man who tended sheep in the valley called God shepherd. The tired soldier who fought too many wars called God maker of peace. The artist who carved figures from the earth's hard stone called God my rock. Sometimes the people who called God by different names were puzzled. They said every living thing has a single name. The marigold and pansy and lily, the oak tree, sequoia and pine. God must have a single name that is greater and more wonderful than all these other names. Each person thought his name for God was the greatest. Each person thought her name for God was the very best. The farmer who called God source of life said, this is the true name for God. The shepherd, soldier, artist believed they each had the perfect name for God. But no one listened. Least of all, God. So each person kept searching for the name of God. The woman who cared for the sick called God healer. The slave who was freed from bondage called God Redeemer. The grandfather whose hair was white with the years called God Ancient One. And the grandmother who was bent with age and sorrow called God Comforter. The young woman who nursed her newborn son called God Mother. The young man who held the hand of his baby daughter called God Father. And the child who was lonely called God Friend. All the people called God by different names, and they tried to tell one another that their name for God was the best, the only name for God, and that all the other names for God were wrong. But no one listened, least of all God. So each person kept searching for God's name. One day, the person who called God Ancient One and the one who called God Friend and Mother and Father, all the people who called God by different names came together. They knelt by a lake. You see it? It was clear and quiet like a mirror. God's mirror. And then each person who had a name for God looked at the others who had a different name. They looked into God's mirror and the faces of all the others, and they called out their names for God, source of life, creator of light, shepherd, maker of peace, mother, father, comforter, ancient ones, all at the same time. And at that moment, the people who knew that all the names of God were good, and no name was better than another, then all at once their voices came together and they called God One. And everyone listened, most of all, God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, there are so many names that we call you. Help us to love you. Amen. Okay, so fourth through sixth graders, to your classroom. If you're in third grade or younger, find your parent or whomever you're with, okay? You're 6 years old? No way. Oh my gosh. You're getting old. How'd that happen? You can go back to your dad.
From the New Living Translation, Psalm 29. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips forests bare. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord rules over the flood waters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace.
don't know. That needs one of your amens. We got to hear it. It was an amen. Amen. Oh, goodness. This indeed is a spirit-filled room today. And we hear the Spirit as it moves and lives and has its being through these words from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. On this Trinity Sunday, many preachers will stand in pulpits and spend precious sermon minutes, especially on a beautiful morning like this, trying to explain God as a mathematical equation, one God in three persons, or if you were keeping count, one plus one plus one equals one. And others will lift up metaphors to understand God's relationship to God's self, most of them having to do with food. Apples, eggs, changing states of water, and one of my personal favorites, Neapolitan ice cream. You'll have to wait two more Sundays before we have that. But if I could wager a guess, I would bet that it was neither mathematical equations or food metaphors that concerned our early forefathers, and though not recorded as frequently, foremothers in faith. You see, what mattered to these early disciples and followers of Christ by about the 3rd and 4th century were the words. The words that attempted to reflect what we know about God, God's relationship with God's self through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and God's relationship with all of creation. So how the early church talked about God and the words that they used became increasingly important, because they also distinguished us from the ways that we were not going to talk about God. So these early church councils, committees, if you will, were established, of course, to decide much matters. And one of the earliest was the Council of Nicaea back in 325. This was a time when the church was coming out of persecution. They were young and vibrant. And some might say that the trajectory of the Christian church was changed forever because Emperor Constantine, probably more conceivably important, his mother supported this new religion. And even all the way back then, they were fighting over the words and names for God. Christians were always asked, how could you be monotheistic, believe in one God, and yet believe that both the God of Israel and Jesus of Nazareth are divine? So, attempts to answer this question included the description
of the modes of God. And here is where we actually get the ways that God is talked about as a liquid, a vapor, or a solid in terms of water. Even though I've preached it and you all have heard it, this whole idea was rejected by the early church because it was too simplistic, too easy to understand our wonderful, amazing God. So by this time, the council was convened in a very small town called Nicaea, in today what would be modern Turkey. The questions were growing, and of course, the fighting followed. So the emperor, so much for the separation of religion and politics, actually convened this council, but he wasn't really concerned about the theology. After all, that was his mom's job. He was more concerned about the politics of the matter. And from this council, the Nicene Creed was born. All right, we're not going far from our hymnals today. So why don't you take it out? And in case you've ever gotten bored during a sermon and we're flipping around in these first few pages of the hymnal, you'll see that there are a few of our confessions and creeds and liturgy. Today we're turning to page 34. I know the pages are stuck together since we don't find this page too often. And let us together confess the faith of the universal church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. On the alternate page, you can see that these words are familiar and they expand the Apostles' Creed. But hopefully you noticed the distinctions, not that it's just longer, but that term, being of one substance with the Father. In Greek, it's homoousios tou patri. And these were the words that a lot of fights ensued, but the need for clarity to show that Jesus of Nazareth, God from God, light from God, light, was begotten, not made, and equally divine. And the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, is worshipped and glorified. These words shaped theological understandings for God in both the Eastern and Western traditions of Christianity for centuries. by emphasizing that Jesus and the Holy Spirit share equal divinity with God. Their emphasis points to the co-equal relationship that God has with God's very self. And these words matter. Because though human language can never exhaust human reality and certainly cannot even begin to grasp at the reality that we worship a God that can never be captured by our language, they do help define how we see and we think and we interact with God and the rest of the world. This is the reason I am extremely grateful that the words that the Apostle Paul uses to the church in Rome that we read this morning, he names humanity as the children of God. Now, do not be mistaken. We are made, not begotten. We are adopted as the children of God. And I believe that these words profoundly matter in how we understand and we live in relationship with God and each other. Just this week, on separate occasions, I heard stories about how GPCers are living out their understanding that everyone we meet, strangers and friends, are indeed children of God. People who took the opportunity to see that child of God and then offer love and encouragement and support by filling up a gas tank for someone who had no money, offering to pay a meal as a way of expressing gratitude for someone who is serving our community. Now, I know that living out our belief that everyone is a child of God sounds easier than it is. Because real life is made up of real people. And on any given day, we are going to act like real people. Meaning we will be imperfect. We will reach out in fear and attempt to ignore and rationalize cruelty and violence. But when we approach our relationships and interactions in this world shaped by a perspective that in fact we are all children of God, we learn just how much these words matter. Researcher and author Dr. Brené Brown, in her newest book, Braving the Wilderness, chronicles how dehumanizing language is the beginning of separation and violence of human beings. Dr. Brown cites research that shows that we actually have a fundamental hesitation. We hold back when it comes to hurting other human beings. It's against our basic moral code. And so in order to override that code, we have to tell ourselves that others are somehow less than human, something other than children of God. And her book cites a long, uncomfortable list of examples of this kind of language from various voices in our current context. But she concludes it in this way, that when we hear people referred to as animals or aliens, we should immediately wonder, is this an attempt to reduce someone's humanity so we can get away with hurting them or denying them basic human rights? There's a line. Etched from dignity, and raging, fearful people from all sides cross it at unprecedented rates every single day. And we, as people of faith, as Christians, must never tolerate dehumanization, for this is the primary instrument of violence that has been used in every genocide recorded throughout history. And I'm reminded on a daily basis, without even turning on my TV or radio, that this starts at such a young age. Right? Brothers and sisters calling each other stupid, kid in our class who maybe we don't like. Well, he or she is bad. And as we grow, perhaps that adult child who didn't make the choices that we might, they are disappointments. They are failures. And used in this way, the words define the person, not the behaviors. And Dr. Brown speaks forcibly about the importance of not dehumanizing anyone. For in that same chapter, she says that if our faith asks us to find the face of God in everyone we meet, that should also include our family, friends, loved ones, politicians, media, and strangers with whom we most disagree. When we desecrate their divinity, we desecrate our own and betray our faith. She's right. We turn away from one of the most basic tenets of our faith, that the God we believe in loved us so much, that God existed in relationship to God's very self with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, begotten, not made, and equally divine. And we are called to live according to that faith together as children of God. May it be so. Amen. Our hymn this morning, a familiar one from Christmas, you know, because it works. But we are going to sing of only four verses. Verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. 1, 2, 5, and 6. this time we bring our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern together. If you have one to share, raise your hand, an usher will bring in a microphone. Let us know who you are and how we can be in prayer with you this day.
Good morning, Jenny Barley. I'd like us all to thank Jim Poole for silently resurrecting our picnic tables.
Amen.
He has pressure washed and repainted the tables anyway, that before were almost unusable. So in his own time, thank you, Jim.
Amen.
Anna Walker, I would like to thank everyone in here and all that in the church and prayers for my husband, who's just got home.
We'll keep praying for John, Hannah, and also for you. I see you.
I have a prayer of joy. We have our two children here today. And they were brought, they're not children anymore, as you see. But they have been a big, big help to the two of us this week. So we're really grateful for them.
Thanks be to God for children who are our children, no matter how old they get. Let us join together in a time of prayer. Eternal God, from whom all life comes and to whom all life returns, this Memorial Day weekend, we remember all who served our country in the military. We remember and give thanks for sacrifices made and losses endured, for acts of courage and grace and hope. And we give thanks for our brothers and sisters who gave the full measure of devotion. God, we give thanks for those we knew well and those who we never met, for the life, goodness, faith, and love that was in each. We give thanks. God, we also pray for our brothers and sisters who are recovering from wounds in body, spirit, and soul. Work healing in them in all the forms that healing takes. And we pray for those who provide care for them. Show us ways we can extend care and support. And we pray this day for families and friends and all who grieve for loved ones who died. Meet them in the valley of death's shadow. Embrace them in the healing warmth of your comfort, grace, and love. Grant them and all of us the assurance that nothing in life or in death can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ our Lord. May the day soon come when swords are beaten into plowshares. War is studied no more, and all peoples and your world will know peace. And holy God, we continue to work for that day in our words and in our actions. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who also taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. With joy and thanksgiving, let us now offer our gifts to God as we receive the morning offering. It is only because of Jesus Christ that we are bold enough to call you Father and Mother, O Sovereign of the universe, and we do so now to remind ourselves of our many sisters and brothers, your many children who need hope and care. Use our gifts to reach others with the story of your great love for this world. Amen. People come, and friends, let all the people go. Go back out into this world to live as children of God, to see the neighbor, the stranger, the friend. As children of God that we are called to love, go. Share that love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage that it takes from the Holy Spirit to live just that. Alleluia. Amen.